I'd like to welcome Mark Faber. Mark Faber is known for publishing the widely read monthly newsletter, The Gloom, Boom, and Doom Report, which is very well known for its quite contrarian investment approach. The report can be found at gloomboomdoom.com. And just to know, we love contrarian points of view here because they challenge us to retest our own view of the world, and all investors really should view all sources, whether they're comfortable or not. So welcome, Mark Faber, to the show. Hi, Mark. Welcome.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Mark, so what is your current outlook on the U.S. stock market?
Well, basically, for the last 2 years, I've been wrong in the sense that I thought the market would go down simply because of the high valuations we have in the U.S. But I think that what happened is the Fed stopped printing money at the end of 2014. In other words, they didn't increase the balance sheet any further. But the Bank of Japan and the ECB and the Bank of England continued to increase the balance sheets. In other words, they printed money, which weakened their currencies. And when investors in Europe and Japan are flushed with liquidity as a result of the asset purchases by these central banks and see that the dollar is strengthening, they pile into U.S. assets, real estate, stocks, bonds. And so the stock market has actually continued to be relatively strong. But the fact is simply that U.S. equities now are extremely expensive by historical standards, and especially compared to other markets in the world, say European markets, emerging markets, and Japan. So if someone is very bullish about equities, in my view, he should buy essentially non-U.S. securities, especially in emerging economies.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. But let me ask you this question about these kinds of predictions. You know, you were making your prediction on maybe a single or just a few factors, but there were other factors at play that you didn't see, or, you know, that is part of the difficulty of making these future predictions. Is it worthwhile to really invest based upon these kinds of predictions which are so difficult to make?
Well, you're raising a very good point. And this is one reason I advocate that in the absence of knowing how the world will look like in 3, 5, or 10 years' time, the investor should always be diversified with some equities, some real estate, some bonds and cash, and some commodities, specifically for the individual investor, some precious metals.
Yeah.
So with that basket, you're not doing fantastically well, but at least relatively well. And I believe that whoever claims that he knows where the Dow will be in 5 years is a charlatan.
Yeah.
Because to predict markets is difficult. To predict markets when there is manipulation by central banks is impossible.
Yeah. I don't know if you've ever heard the saying from Sir John Templeton. He said, when asked where the markets are going to go or, you know, where they're going to be, he said, well, he doesn't know where the next 1,000 points are going to be next year, but he knows where the next 5,000 points are going to be. Do you think that's you believe in that?
Well, my sense is this. I mean, we have central banks that have increased, the major central banks I'm talking about, the Bank of England, the Federal Reserve, the ECB, the Bank of Japan, they have increased the balance sheets by 17 times since 1998. Can you tell me, or can anyone tell me, whether they want to increase the balance sheet another 20 times in future? In my view, this is a real possibility. So stocks could go up and become even more overvalued. And if stocks go down, say the S&P is today at 2,000, close to 2,300. If it drops to the low of last February, which was 1810.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you that the Fed will start QE4 and buy stocks.
Mm-hmm.
And Trump will be cheering that. He doesn't want to have a recession. He doesn't want to have a collapsing stock market.
Right.
So, you know, the stars are aligned for higher money printing, for more money printing. Now, when you print money, there's one problem. You don't know exactly where the money will flow to. It can essentially boost U.S. stock prices, but depress the dollar.
Mm-hmm.
It can also boost precious metal prices more than U.S. stocks. It can maybe boost bonds, or it can boost commodities, or it can boost wages. Then you have inflation and so forth. You just don't know exactly what will happen. That's why I say you have to be diversified.
Yeah. So, you know, most of my listeners, I guess probably the vast majority, earn their money in U.S. dollars, and they invest the same. They invest with U.S. dollars. So we look at international markets, which have been weak in U.S. dollar terms for so many years. And I'm thinking about the developed countries, like as a whole, France, Germany, Japan, based upon the broad indexes. Do you see, and so far this year, the developed country and emerging market indexes have outperformed the United States. Do you see that as a trend that could continue this year?
Well, I have to correct you slightly.
Sure.
Last year, Brazil was up 66% in U.S. dollar per terms.
Right, okay.
From a very depressed level.
Right.
Russia was up 55% and Kazakhstan 60%. Thailand was up 22% and many other Asian markets outperformed the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And gold, by the way, outperformed the U.S. dollar. It went up in U.S. dollar terms.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see, or that would be my view, as I said before, if you want to own equities, I would own equities that are relatively depressed, namely emerging markets.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, we had a huge bull market in precious metals until 2011.
Yeah.
And then we had a bear market. I think that bear market has come to an end. And during that bear market of precious metals 2011 to 2015, December, the gold shares and silver shares and platinum-related shares collapsed completely, in some cases by 90%.
Mm.
Since then, they have recovered. They're still relatively depressed, so I would buy some precious metals here and some precious metal shares. I would also look at agricultural commodities and plays on agricultural, like plantation companies, fertilizer companies, etc.
Yeah. It's very difficult to understand what moves gold. I mean, I would think that during the 08 crisis up through 2011, it was really a fear of the devaluation of the currency and the feeling that when the economies are so weak that the faith in currencies diminishes, so the faith in real things like precious metals increases. We don't really have that now. We have very strong, lots of faith in currencies with a hint of inflation, but I don't know if there's a direct correlation between gold prices and inflation. What do you think would drive gold prices higher?
I think in general, if investors are confident about financial assets, it's not particularly good for gold prices. But if they lose faith in financial assets and in the purchasing power of money, they then migrate to other assets, including real estate, farmland, gold, and so forth, as happened in the 70s. And my sense is that interest rates may go up, but we see how hesitant the Federal Reserve is in increasing rates. In other words, they will lag behind the rate of inflation and also the rate at which the cost of living is going up meaningfully. In other words, paper money, if you had paper money, even in 1999, you got out of the stock market. You kept paper money in the bank between 1999 and today. your purchasing power has lost considerably.
Yeah.
Whereas if you were in shares, in bonds, in precious metals, you did fine.
Yeah.
Gold is up from $99 to $1,200.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, who's to complain about that? It had a correction after 2011. But the media and, of course, some banks and their economists who want to essentially abolish cash, they hate gold. They hate gold.
Yeah.
And the fund manager, last year, everybody says financial stocks did well. They did well after November. They say energy stocks did well. Yes, mm-hmm. they did well because the oil price doubled.
Mm-hmm.
But what they don't talk about is, for instance, that gold shares went up something like 100%. Barrick, at the end of 2015, was at $6. Freeport, $6. And so forth and so on. They had huge moves. But of course, the portfolio managers,
yeah.
they hate to tell their clients that they missed these moves.
Right. Well, you know, it comes down to this one most important point, and that is it's the price you pay for things that really matter. You know, it's buying these gold stocks when they're depressed, buying oil stocks when they're depressed. Unfortunately, we're out of time. My guest is Dr. Mark Faber. He is the publisher of the Gloom, Boom, and Doom Report. And, you know, Mark, I've got a different little sense from you today that you're advocating more diversification and less gloomy predictions about the future.
Well, I want to tell you, of course, I'm extremely bearish about everything.
Okay.
But because I'm so bearish, I think that within my bearish scenario, there is no other option for our Western governments,
yeah.
which are all bankrupt. Bankrupt financially and also intellectually. That these governments will all continue to print money. And so in nominal terms, some assets may continue to go up, whereby the purchasing power of money will lose against precious metals. That would be my view.
Dr. Mark Faber, talking to us from Thailand today. Thank you so much for joining me.
It's my pleasure.
To hear more on this subject and to hear Dr. Faber's interview again, don't forget to join us at stevepomerantz.com.